Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pellegrini Financial and IPC Investment Corporation third quarter conference call, a bumpy ride as expected. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Perry Pellegrini. Please go ahead, Mr. Pellegrini.
Thank you, operator. And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. This is our third quarter conference call, where I'm hoping to keep it to about 15 minutes, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning. Just to give you a quick outline of what I'm going to try and cover here today, I'm going to give us a bit of a summary on what went on in the third quarter, so that is July, August, and September. Give some comments on the more recent activity, which I think most people are probably most concerned about just because of the volatility, and then a little bit about expectations going forward. So let's get started with some of what's gone on in the markets through the third quarter. The first part of that quarter, that's July and August, we saw markets generally were up. We're talking about equity markets. They were generally up. The last month, of course, is September, and September was when our big volatility started. So we've got some comments on that in a bit. North American and Japan markets were generally positive through that quarter. Europe was sort of the laggard, the one that was down. Some of the notable things through the summer months, we note that the U.S. dollar made some strong gains, and that, of course, meant that commodities were going in the opposite direction. So things like oil and gold and things of that nature. And generally what that means is that economies that are based on commodity, including Canada, were going to have a little bit of a struggle during that time. Europe has generally been troubled mostly because of a German slowdown. And I think we all have to keep in mind that Germany generally is the engine of Europe. So when they're suffering, Europe is generally going to suffer. From a news standpoint, I don't think this is any big surprise. The big thing through the that quarter was what we call geopolitical. So we've got things going on in Ukraine and the Middle East were center stage, causing a lot of unease and a lot of uncertainty. A little bit behind the scenes that you may not be as familiar with, certainly because it's not front page news, is in Europe they are dealing with a bit of a fear of deflation, which is always a bit of a concern in terms of economic activity. And of course, in the U.S., they are starting to not so much tighten monetary policy, but they have been, as we've talked over the last number of quarters, with the U.S. printing money, so to speak, that has been drawing to a close. So that is some of what's going on in the news that is impacting on markets. The Canadian dollar is, as most of you know, has been sliding against the U.S. dollar, and that's obviously a part of that has to do with the commodities struggling and the price of oil going down, but certainly the geopolitical crises that are happening in the Ukraine and the Middle East are causing a flight to safety in terms of the U.S. dollar. And of course, anytime you have the U.S. dollar moving up, well, pretty much all the other currencies are going to be moving in the other direction. Interesting to note, the Canadian dollar has been doing reasonably well versus the euro. So overall, positives for the quarter. We've got the economic activity that seems to be continuing to improve, most notably in North America. So that's a positive. And Scotland, I think the referendum in Scotland, I think people underestimate the importance of that. But, of course, they had their big referendum to separate, and they voted to stay in the union with Britain. That's a big plus, not just because Scottish separation would be a big deal, but the reality is if the separatists had won that referendum, well, then you've got a lot of similar situations around the globe that would be reignited in terms of their thoughts. And I think that if you start to see those dominoes fall, then it would have a broader impact on the markets. But of course, that didn't happen. And so I think that's generally a positive. Another big positive is we've talked in the past about the quantitative easing or the money printing by the U.S. and how that's been positive for the markets and the economy. And it's drawing to a close. But the flip side of that is that Europe and Japan are starting to step up their efforts on their quantitative easing. So it's moving from the U.S. Into Europe and into Japan, and I think that's an important move. I think that those parts of the world need a little bit more stimulus to move forward. In terms of the negatives that were underlying that third quarter, we continue to see some slowing in China. I don't know how big of an issue this is. Certainly in the short term it has been, but the reality for China is there's a very large population there, and they have been on breakneck growth speed for some time, and we got to expect that their growth rate is going to go through some peaks and valleys where, you know, it speeds up and it slows down, it speeds up and it slows down. Right now it just happens to be in a slowing mode, so that's impacting a little bit on what's going on in the world. But I don't believe that they are going to reverse course in terms of how that economy overall is growing. European inflation is down, and it is a little bit on a worrisome side, where the fear of deflation comes in, and deflation is not good for any economy. So there's still that little bit of negative aspect out there, and of course, the whole geopolitical thing with the Ukraine and Russia and what's going on in the Middle East, those are things that we're going to have to deal with over time. I guess that it brings us to sort of the largest non-economic concerns that are out there going forward. Clearly are the Ukrainian situation, the terrorism issues in the Middle East, and I guess we wouldn't have a complete discussion without talking about the Ebola crisis in Africa. I think we have to keep in mind that these types of non-economic concerns or crises certainly create a lot of volatility in markets, but they rarely result in long-term harm. And I guess that really is because they are not economic in nature. They are crises. They cause people to worry, and worry causes people to make short-term decisions. But ultimately, markets react to economic conditions, and so I don't think that they are long-term issues that we need to deal with. Probably the most relevant concern for the immediate future is really in terms of what we would consider to be higher or elevated valuations in the markets. I think that we have had, since 2011, a long period of time without any significant type of correction in the markets. And there, of course, you can't just simply have prices of assets to continually go up without some type of adjustment or correction along the way. And so I think what we've seen, certainly starting in September, is that we had a little bit of correction. Of course, the longer time you go without markets having any kind of negative correction, the more people expect that we are not going to see one. And when we do start to see these correction or corrective activities in the market, people start to get a lot more worried than they ought to. I think we all need to keep in mind that market corrections along the way are a natural part of how markets behave. As to why we saw the volatility spike up in September and October, well, I think clearly we're looking at a number of issues. One is, again, the geopolitics, the Ukrainian situation, the Middle East situation. We've got the U.S. Drawing to a close in terms of their money printing. I think those are certainly ingredients that lead to that type of volatility. But let's not lose sight of the fact that September and October are generally the volatile months in the year. They've got a reputation for being the ones where markets move the most, and certainly if we look through history on when a lot of the corrections or market drops have occurred, they've generally been in September and October. So that is not by any type of surprise. Interesting, the U.S. markets in particular, while we've had some big drops through September and October, as we come into this time, we notice that a big part of the broad U.S. market is, in fact, back at their all-time highs. So while we did see a lot of volatility, the markets generally have recovered from that. Canadian markets, of course, are still struggling a little bit. And I think we have to keep in mind that the Canadian markets are going to struggle a little bit there because we tend to be focused on resources. So we've got oil and gold and natural resources. When the U.S. dollar is strong, those commodities are going to suffer, and commodity-based economies such as Canada are going to struggle. So we're going to lag a little bit in terms of the American market, and you know, I guess that's just the way it's going to be. That's why we don't like to be too focused in terms of investment holdings just in the Canadian marketplace. So where do we go from here? Well, overall, we're seeing recovery can probably continue. I know that there are some that are saying, well, this has been an economic recovery, is going on, we're into 6 years now, seems to be a long period of time, and I'm coming off of the 2008 low. I think we all have to keep in mind that 2008 was an incredible low. So it was, we're starting from a very low base, and because we're starting from a very low base, and in my mind, a sluggish recovery out of that low, so it's not like we had a really strong bounce back in terms of economic activity. We've had a slow climb out of that drop in 2008 from in terms of economic activity. There is a lot of slack still in the system, and so I think that there is room for the economies around the world to continue to move forward without a business cycle pullback. So I think that that's a positive going forward. The quantitative easing in the U.S., so that's the printing of money, while it is drawing to a close in the U.S., we note that Europe and Japan are kind of stepping up their efforts. So from a global standpoint, that should be helpful. The U.S. dollar, as long as we have a U.S. economy that seems to be performing better than others and some of these geopolitical risks that exist out there, the U.S. dollar, I believe, is going to continue to be strong, which means commodities are going to be subdued. And we see that in terms of the falling price of oil and things of that nature. So the Canadian market is probably going to struggle to keep up to the U.S. market. But because of the strong U.S. dollar, overall inflation is likely going to stay low, which in turn means that interest rates are likely going to stay low, despite the fact that the U.S. is going to, you know, kind of cut down on their money printing. We don't expect interest rates to make a significant rise anytime soon. I think that we will get a fair bit of advance indication on a move in interest rates when that starts to happen. So overall, in terms of the investment world, I guess we see that bonds are likely going to remain steady. Yes, the interest rates, the return on interest rate type assets is low, but we do see that it's going to stay steady over the foreseeable future. Equities, that stocks, we expect are likely going to continue to be volatile, but rising over time. So we do see that we're going to have some positive results from stocks, but at any given time, we may be going through some type of a negative correction. So we just need to be aware of that. And I guess at the end of the day, that comes back to us trying to stay balanced. So we recognize that we don't want to make a particular call on one asset class. We want to have a nice allocation to each of the asset classes. And really what is the right one is going to depend on each individual situation. So we are going to continue to suggest that the asset mix for any particular individual is going to be based on your own objectives and your needs and your risk tolerances. And as you know, we generally are looking at that each year when we do an overall review. We're trying to make sure that the mix of assets is right for your individual situation. So we will continue to do that. We don't see anything that's jumping up in front of us saying that there is any one particular asset class that is that's the right one to be in instead of any others. So we'll continue to go in that direction. I think that pretty much wraps what I wanted to cover here this morning. So I do want to thank everybody for participating here this morning. And I want to remind you, if you have any questions or concerns about what's happening out there in the world or what's happening with your particular situation, make sure that you touch base with us, give myself or Ryan a call, and we can talk about some of these things specifically in relation to your situation. So once again, thank you everybody for participating, and I hope you have a great day. Bye-bye.